Consequence Podcast Network. Tour set, pop!
Bora, hey.
Oh my gosh, can you believe all of what BTS are doing right now, even though they're all in the military?
Like, I know. We're getting some extra content. I'm super excited.
Like, coming out very soon is J-Hope's Hope on the Street doc. We know that we're getting an album from it. And we saw the preview clip of it this week where it was so cool to see, like, maybe some of the different cities that he's going to and where he'll be at and what he's showing off in the doc.
I also think Jungkook is maybe on one of the songs. Maybe Jimin. I've been hearing like a Le Sserafim member might be on one of the tracks. The track list hasn't been, like, released yet, but of course there's ARMYs who are, like, zooming in on the blurred tracks and they're able to figure out, like, oh yes, this is so-and-so. So it's just super exciting. I'm really thrilled about the actual documentary or the docuseries that's coming out because I just love that we're getting to explore more of his origins with street dance and how he really got into this world of K-pop. Like, this is, like, his very beginnings. Very cool.
Yes, I'm so excited to see his roots, and, like, we've talked about it so much, and to see him explore it on such a large scale, I think, is something that we really haven't gotten from him before. Something else that was just announced was Taeyang's new single coming out on March 15th called Friends, and there's a special, like, spelling to it where the END in Friends is in parentheses, so it really made that stand out to us, and the pink is very reminiscent of Map of the Soul Persona pink. So, of course, it takes us right back to, like, blue hair, Taeyang, Boy with Love. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It takes me straight to the Persona era. But it's just so conflicting to me with this, like, bubblegum pink color, you know? Like, it just looks so happy and Persona era and, you know, with the friend end. I'm just very curious, and knowing that we had Friends with Jimin on Map of the Soul 7, of course, my mind goes there too. So I'm very, very curious to see what all goes on with this release. Super unexpected. Also, even more unexpected that there's going to be a short film and concept photos and a flash video. Like, there is so much that's going to go on with this release that it's not just like he's dropping a single. Like, this is like the full, like, comeback kind of scope that they do usually. So super looking forward
to it. I was so surprised to see that he has all of that coming out. I was like, oh my gosh, this really is a comeback. I'm very much looking forward to it. Like, surprise March for us. Our, like, BTS predictions for 2024 of Namjoon dropping his album in March because it has spring vibes already. Very, very incorrect.
Debunked.
It's coming out during Festa. We'll find it then, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So we are super excited and looking forward to those. And we're also looking forward to today's episode. Here with us today, we have a special guest, Erica Kasupinen, here to share her story paralleled along with BTS's story. More on that in a second.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome back. We're your hosts. I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany. And this is Standing BTS,
your favorite informative fangirl podcast.
All right. Today, we're going to hang out for about an hour. And we are, of course, talking with a special guest, Erica, today. And we're also going to be talking about BTS's kind of underdog story with Erica, who is going to have a lot to speak on this topic and kind of share her story with it and her ARMY story as well.
Yeah, we're so excited to get into it and to hear from her and her interesting perspective. But before we get too far into today's episode, we want to say thanks, Iconics, for being here and for all of your support. If you'd like to support us even further and have access to our episode documents, monthly virtual Iconic hangouts, and our sound checks, please consider joining us on Patreon at patreon.com/standingbts.
Thanks for being here and for all of your support. All right. So if you don't know, Erica Kasupinen is the host of her own podcast, Happy to See Me, which puts the spotlight on the overlooked and underestimated. She often speaks with guests on how they tackle self-doubt, underrepresentation, and judgment while also sharing the triumphs, trials, and aha moments of their paths today.
Such a cool podcast, and it's amazing that she has it. But how I actually knew Erica, first of all, was knowing that she's the winner of Survivor's season 41, CBS's Survivor. I'm a big fan of the show. I've watched my whole life. Erica, I watched season 41 as it was coming out, watched you do the hourglass breaking and changing the whole history of the whole season. And I loved every moment of it. So it's a true honor to have you, not only amazing podcaster, but winner of Survivor here on our podcast. Welcome, Erica.
Thank you so much. Oh, my Survivor and BTS worlds can collide. I am so happy to be here.
Thank you so much for being here. That's how I felt, too. When we heard from you, I was like, this is my Survivor and BTS worlds colliding here, like two things that I absolutely never thought would overlap.
Yeah, super excited to have you on. Kayla is really an avid Survivor watcher. So when this happened, she was freaking out about it. And I said, well, you know what? I got to get like the rundown on season 41. So we like just watched recaps and stuff and specifically of your story. So I know your story a little bit and it's just incredible. So we're really excited to have you here to get to talk about your journey and especially, you know, your connection with BTS, of course. So first, I really just want to know how and when did you discover BTS?
I would say that I was a pandemic army. So I was familiar with them before. Like, I remember watching them on Saturday Night Live. I remember seeing them at the American Music Awards when they performed DNA. And I was always aware of them. Whenever I'd see them, I'd always think, oh, this is that really popular band. They're that popular K-pop band. Fans love them. But they never really penetrated my world until the pandemic. Like, I even remember hearing Boy With Love, and I loved Boy With Love. And I remember running into a K-pop dance group on the streets in Toronto. And I was so excited to sit and watch them. So there's some video on YouTube where you see me excitedly running into the background of this performance video. But it was really around the pandemic. So it actually does tie into my Survivor experience because I was originally cast to be on Survivor in film in March 2020. Obviously, nobody was traveling internationally in March 2020. So I entered this weird limbo state where they called me a few days we were supposed to leave to go film the show. And then they said, we can't film it right now. We're going to delay it and film it in May. And then April comes. And then they call me and say, okay, we're going to delay it until June. And then this kept going and it kept going and it kept going. Even though it was frustrating, it was okay for me because during the pandemic, when a lot of people were going through those tough feelings of hopelessness and not knowing what's next, in the back of my mind, I always thought, well, I'm going to be on the show I've dreamed of being on. So I never really let those tough pandemic feelings get to me. It was kind of like knowing that Survivor was coming was this dam. And then I reached the end of summer 2020, and then I get a call saying, we've tried everything. We can't film the show this year. And because of that, and because of policies with CBS, too much time will have lapsed since you were cast on the show. So once we resume filming, it's not guaranteed that you will be on the cast again. So sorry if this is something that you lose out with because of the pandemic. And that moment was like earth shattering to me. It was like the dam that held together all of those negative COVID emotions broke and everything just hit me.
Yeah, that was like all your hope right there taken away. Oh,
exactly. And then the thing that got me was in and around that time, that's when Dynamite came out. And I was like, this is the exact song that I need right now. I think that the world needed right now, where we just needed a happy pop song that was just easy to listen to, that was feel good. So I just started listening to Dynamite on a loop. I sent it to my sister. I'm like, oh, who are these people? And then it became the, okay, let me learn their names. Let me watch the videos. And then I just kind of became down the rabbit hole. And then the BTS discography ended up becoming what was the soundtrack to me managing what was now the hard part of the pandemic that I wasn't experiencing the months before. And they really helped me to get through all of that. And my love for BTS and being an ARMY just grew from there.
Wow, that's an incredible story of how you discovered them. It's amazing that Survivor was able to like help you hold on hope during all of that time. But then somehow BTS just happened to release Dynamite at the time when you really needed it. And like you need it. You know, people talk about like these incredible ARMY stories of like you find BTS when you need them. They find you when you need them. And it really did happen here for you, like Dynamite coming in to rescue you. And what a great pop song. Such a good feel good song.
Yeah. And it's not even like I'm just thinking about B being one of your first albums, like being a new fan. And just I keep going to Life Goes On. Like that's just such a cathartic song to like kind of get you through something like that. When Dynamite came out, Kayla and I remember telling Kayla, like, this is their best one yet. So it just makes me so happy when, like, that's the song that, you know, a new ARMY is coming in on. I do love that you knew about them and that you had seen them. And it wasn't until, you know, you needed them most that they really, you latched on. Love that.
Yeah. So speaking about how you fell down the rabbit hole, one of the first things people do when they fall down the rabbit hole is they start to, like, choose their favorite members. They, you know, they pick their bias. So who is your bias and how did they become your bias?
Oh, from beginning to end, it's always been Jin. I still remember it's not everybody, but so many people, their starting point is that James Corden carpool karaoke video. And I just thought that Jin was so funny. And then as I started to go down the rabbit hole of seeing all of their content, I've always been drawn to him. I think that he is the combination of so many different things where he's so silly and doesn't take himself so seriously, yet he has this deep wisdom about so many things. He's clearly so hardworking in that he never sang, he never danced, he was able to catch up and do that, but then he also prioritizes rest and being okay with taking a pause and being okay with taking time. So I've always admired him in that way. And of course, I don't love cooking. So in my fantasy world, I'm like, one day Jin and I will be friends and he's going to happily cook me a meal. But I think I've always been a fan of him. But then all of the lead up to the astronaut and then hearing him open up about the criticism he received about not going to the military, like that, I was like, oh my gosh, I am going to ride for this person for the rest of my life, even though he doesn't know I exist yet.
Yet. Oh, that's amazing. I feel like your bias just says so much about like what you are looking for in life and like what you value in life, like valuing the hard work along with the rest and knowing that it's very important to have the balance between the two. And I think Jin is totally about that.
Yeah. And they always say that like you don't pick your bias chooses you. So like, of course, Jin would happily cook for you one day, you know, like,
thank you. We're putting it out there. And I can't wait until he comes out of the military. When I meet people now over the last few months and I tell them about my love for BTS, I'm like, hey, so I seem normal right now, but oh, when they start coming out of the military, just wait, I become a different person. So yeah. I feel like you have a calm BTS version of me right now.
I think we're exactly at the 100-day mark of Jin coming back. I think it might be day 99.
Yeah. Oh my, this is perfect timing then.
Yes, it really is. Yeah. Well, we got to ask. So since you're big ARMY, we want to know, what are some of your favorite songs or albums?
So the album is always going to mean so much to me that got me through the pandemic was the Love Yourself era. And the song that I love so much is Answer Love Yourself, because it just gave me so much self-compassion. I remember being in that moment in the pandemic when finally I was allowing myself to feel so upset and so hopeless and so unsure of what was happening. And there's just such a strong message of self-compassion in that song. Anybody who will listen, I will tell them about the lyric that says that maybe the scars from your mistakes make up your personal constellation. And I realized, I'm like, okay, everything you do on your path is legitimate. And I still think about those lyrics now as even I'm years out of that experience and I'm experiencing new chapters. So that one is always going to be so close to me.
Mm-hmm. Gosh, that song could make me cry almost every time I listen to it. It's definitely one of those, like, at a concert, like BTS concert at the very end, where they're like having this sense of unity with all of ARMY. That is definitely one of those songs that really hit home, where you just can't help but to cry when you hear it. Yeah, gorgeous lyrics to that song.
Oh yeah. my comfort video. So whenever I have a moment where I just need release and I'm like, oh, maybe I just need to cry to myself, I always watch the Tokyo Dome performance of Answer Love Myself, the one that's like 15 minutes long.
Like literally rip my heart out.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. I love that song so much. And I remember when we did like our album review of that album and those lyrics still sticking in my mind because it was so powerful just to be reminded that every step that you take, even if in the moment you feel like it's a failure, that it is part of your story. It's that constellation that makes up your life. And I just think that's so beautiful. To be forgiving to ourselves is really about that love yourself era, what it's all about.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
So I have to ask you about your amazing purple hair, because I know how much you love your purple hair and BTS's color is purple. Is there any connection there? How long have you had your purple hair? What does that mean to you?
I've had my purple hair since 2017. So I used to have, and you both can see me on camera, but if you can't picture it. So right now I have a short purple bob. But for years, when I was in my 20s, I had long, down to my waist, natural colored hair with straight across bangs. So I think that I looked fine. And I always got compliments on it. And people were always like, oh my God, I love your hair so much, that I felt like I needed to keep that hair for so long just because other people liked it. But then I always knew I wanted colored hair. So then one day I just like cut 10 inches of my hair off, donated it, put in some purple streaks to see if I could still have a job and see how I'd feel. And then it turned out life was still fine. So then eventually, as the years went on, I started adding more and more purple to what I have now, which is a full head of purple hair. So it's always been a color that I've loved. I think that there's something that's regal about it, yet feminine, yet edgy. So it's always kind of been my color. And then I think it's now just a happy coincidence that it is also the BTS color. I was trying to see if they have an official color or an official hex code or Pantone, because I have a purple accent wall in my place. So I'm like, oh, maybe that's my subtle nod to BTS, but I couldn't find one. So if there is an official color.
I don't know that there's a specific shade, like a Pantone shade. I just know that it is purple, but not beyond that. I think any shade of purple. But I love that it's just a happy coincidence. Like it feels very meant to be that you felt so empowered by your purple hair, and it's very regal. Like when I think purple, I think royalty, respect and honor. And so like you're already carrying that with you, and then it's kind of bridging with your BTS and your ARMY story at the same time. That is so cool.
I just love the just cosmic connection there, you know, with BTS, that you had the purple hair even before you got into BTS, and it happens to be like their main color. Like that is some BTS ARMY universe connection that you just can't explain.
Yeah, it was just always meant to be.
Yeah. So we got to know, what is your favorite part of like being a part of ARMY, or what being a part of the fandom has meant to you?
I feel like my relationship with the fandom has evolved so much over the years, because When I first got really, really into them during the pandemic, it's this moment of feeling so isolated. And then I was able to feel hope and to have my emotions validated through their music and through their content. So I found originally it was something that I would consume mostly by myself. Like my little sister also became an ARMY at the same time. So we were able to consume it together. But it was something that we could kind of, just consume within our relationship. But then now, as the years have gone by, for me, the relationship with BTS means community and it means friendship. Since things have started to open up, I've been able to meet other ARMYs and go to ARMY events and then be able to make genuine friendships. So I live in Toronto and I want to make sure that I shout out my friends Jules and Marissa, who run Bangtan Ball, which is this series of events for ARMY in Toronto where they throw dance parties, which are amazing. I just went to a Love Yourself dinner on Valentine's Week. They have scavenger hunts. They throw events that are similar to Run BTS activities like pottery and aerial yoga. And through going to their events, I've been able to make other ARMY friends where initially we're connecting based on being ARMY. And then now we can hang out and we can talk about things beyond life. So now what started out as something that was so isolated to me is now something where I have like a group of people I can talk to and a group of people I can hang out with and listen to the new albums with when something drops. So for me, it's just like being part of something that's amazing.
Wow. That is so cool that they have so many different events. Like, especially, I think that is such a neat idea to like kind of replay out those Run episodes of like going and doing like, you know, pottery and aerial yoga, like you were saying. Because, you know, you hear of like kind of like ARMY events in your community and stuff. But a lot of times it's like cup sleeve events and things like that. I haven't actually heard of something of that sort. So that is really cool that your friends coordinate all that, because that is super neat.
Yeah. And I must shout them out further. They're so good because they also recognize there's probably a lot of ARMY who might be more introverted, or they might not have any ARMY friends of their own. So they might be intimidated going to events by themselves. So my friends always build in some type of option if you are there on your own. So if you want to go to ARMY dinner, but you don't know anyone, we'll put you at a table with other solo ARMYs. Or if you want to go to a dance party and you don't know anyone, we can set up a booth where it's all solo ARMYs where you could meet each other. So they truly kill it when it comes to hosting events. And I think if you are not from Toronto, check out their page and see if you're inspired, because maybe you can start throwing some events in your town as well.
Yeah. That is so cool. Definitely makes me want to have stuff like that happen here in Kansas City, because it makes me so jealous of that thriving ARMY community that you get to have like right there in person. That is so special and so cool. Okay, so just switching up my questioning a little bit, because I have this super burning question for you. Like I said, I'm a Survivor fan. Like, I'm sure I watched like the early seasons with my parents when I was a kid. And then during the pandemic, I kind of rediscovered Survivor and like binged watched all of it and was like, oh yeah, I used to love this. So I always thought like if I were on Survivor, being such a big BTS fan, I would have to tell every single person on my tribe, every single person I come across, I'd have to like evangelize them with the word of BTS. Like, how could you not? So I have to know, like, did you talk to your fellow castmates about BTS? Like, you were ARMY before you went on to Survivor. So did you talk about them? Did you think about BTS, or like, did any of their music like go through your head or like get you along while you were out there on the island?
Yeah, so I have two stories about this one. The first is, what was different about when we filmed Survivor is that we had to go to Fiji and then quarantine in a hotel for 2 weeks in Fiji. So we weren't allowed to bring any devices that could connect to the internet. It's like I flew to LA, had all my stuff, but before we left for Fiji, they had to take my phone and everything away from me. So I had borrowed an iPod from a friend, and then, you know, when I had minutes left before they were going to take my laptop away, I'm like, I need to figure out how to add some modern music to this, because this iPod only has songs from 2009 on it. So I don't know how to download music anymore. So I used one of those like illegal YouTube download the audio websites, and I tried to download Dynamite. I'm like, okay, let me just get one BTS song onto this iPod. And it was able to download, but then the MP3 had this weird, it was like a watermark on it. So before and after the song ended, there was like the pew, 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 name of the downloading website audio tag on
That's amazing.
So I'm like, okay, this is all I have for 2 weeks.
Oh, my goodness.
And then, so on Survivor, before you go and film the show, you submit what's called an emotional support item to production. So it could be, I don't know, just like something with some type of sentimental value, as long as it's not too functional. And production holds on to it because they say that this could potentially be a reward for you to have in the game sometime during the show. Of course, we haven't seen any reward items or these like sentimental items being given to the cast over the last few years. But just in case, we all have to submit something. So I submitted like a necklace that was my sister's name in Morse code. So once I got to Fiji, I gave it to production and they're like, okay, we'll give this to you in case there's an opportunity in the game. If not, we'll give it back to you at the end. So no one really talked about what their emotional support items were. And if you've watched my season, you'll know my closest ally was this woman named Heather. She lives in South Carolina. She has two teenage daughters and we became close friends on the show and we're still close friends today. So after we finished the show, probably a year after filming, I went to go and visit her in South Carolina and she was giving me a tour of her house. And we go into her daughter's room and she has a Tata pillow on her bed. And I was like, oh my God, it's Tata. Aww. And then Heather was like, oh, you know what that is? I'm like, yeah. She's like, oh yeah, that was my emotional support item. Like that's what I would have been given on the island. Ish. So imagine if we got those rewards and imagine if Heather was handed a Tata pillow. I think I would have lost it.
I can't imagine. I mean, like also the fact that you guys were already really close and allies in the game, like if some reward would have happened and you both got this, you turning to her and being like, oh my God, like your bond would have been solidified to the end of time. Like, yeah.
Yes.
Wow. So your whole time on the season together, you didn't know that you both like BTS?
Well, so she doesn't know them as well, but her daughter is a fan.
Is a fan,
so,
yeah.
But still, I'm like, that would have been something. I don't think like my starving brain would have been able to compute that if I saw that pillow, actually. Like that would have been way too much.
Yeah. Yeah. That is wild. Oh, love that.
I know. Another meant to be moment.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know Kayla was just dying to ask you about just, you know, how can you be an ARMY and survive on an island without listening to their music? You know, like what did
you
do?
I also feel like I would like talk to the other people about it. Like you must talk about everything when you're out there, like go over every single topic. Even though I feel like I'd be embarrassing as an ARMY to like just not be able to nonstop talk about them, I feel like I would. I don't know how you resisted. Like, kudos to you.
I know. You know what? Because my season was the first one with 26 days, I found there wasn't as much downtime as one would think there would be. Because normally on one of the older seasons that were 39 days, you'd have a day off in between. But then my season was like challenge, tribal council. So I found there wasn't as much downtime as I expected. Mm-hmm. But I did. There were a few endurance challenges and I would just like play Dynamite in my head over and over again when we were doing endurance challenges. Actually won one of them.
That's
too
amazing.
So. I guess that's also the power of BTS.
Do you permanently have like the MP3 watermark like in your mind whenever Dynamite just like regularly comes on Spotify or whatever, you're expecting to hear it now?
Oh my God. It did for a while, but then after I came home, I'm like, okay, I have to erase it. So I'm like, let me just listen to the unwatermarked Dynamite.
I love that.
All right. Well, we want to know, this is kind of a bigger question for you. What does BTS mean to you? And really, how have they impacted your life?
Oh my gosh. This is the heavy one.
The heavy one.
So much. I mean, before I have captured, I'm like, okay, number one, community, friendship, all of that fun stuff. And self-compassion, definitely a big one. And I think that what I get from them, it's a combination of inspiration to keep going and that self-compassion and that ability to withstand criticism. Because I don't know, I feel like this is a very common ARMY thing, but there's so many moments where I'm going through a situation and I'm just like, okay, but like, you know, it took BTS 10 years to get to where they are, or no one believed in BTS at the beginning and here they are. So I tend to think about those types of things a lot. I think the ones that stick out to me, number one, knowing that they started off as being these guys from the company with a smaller budget, wearing these funny t-shirts on the music shows. No one really expected them to go anywhere. And then now look at the phenomenon they are. So I think that all the time as well when I'm just starting and I'm like, I don't know, maybe I'm kind of awkward with this, or maybe I don't quite know what I'm doing. And I'm just like, oh, no. I have the opportunity to find my footing in the way that BTS did. And then I think I also really admire them because they have achieved so much. I think that the goalpost for them is always moving. What they have achieved is beyond comprehension for a K-pop group, yet there's still more things for them to do. Yet they still receive so much unwarranted criticism, but I never really see them addressing it in a low class or in a way that I never really see them address it in a way where there's like resentment. I feel like whenever they do address it, it's often with class or it's channeled into their music and into their art. Mm-hmm. So to see that they have probably been on the receiving end of so much criticism over the last few years, yet they can take the high road, is something that's also so inspirational to me as well.
Yeah. It's really impressive how they never stoop down to that level, you know?
Yes.
The only way I can think of any kind of response from them is just going to like the rap members' lyrics and songs, like rap line songs, you know, where they can really let it out. But they really always are taking the higher road, like you were saying. And it's so incredibly admirable because they get such criticism. I mean, they got so much criticism in their early days. Mm-hmm. The fact that they persevered through that before they had, you know, all of their trophies to kind of back them up, you know, and keep them going and be like, oh, no, we have accomplished a lot. You know, they had just so much passion and so much belief in themselves. It's crazy that they never let that really get to them, that they just knew what they were meant to do and they stayed so focused on themselves. Yeah.
Yeah. They had really, really humble beginnings, like you touched on, from a super tiny company, right? Big hit when they started with them. They only had failed previous K-pop acts. They really didn't have any capital to work with. They couldn't, you know, buy themselves into the industry at all. And Hitman Bang was basically like, this is my last ditch effort to make a successful K-pop group. He didn't have too many connections to help them out either. And we know that their first album was recorded in this tiny garage outside of Seoul, like things like dingy, poor acoustics, like how much, you know, setup they had to do to make it sound good. And they just really had all the odds stacked against them, but they decided to begin anyways. And they really were the ultimate underdogs from the beginning. You on your podcast, you often shine a light on the underestimated and the overlooked. Do people consider you underestimated and overlooked? Do they consider you an underdog? Is that a label that others put on you? Or have you also considered yourself an underdog?
I guess it depends on who you ask. I think that there are some people who probably think I'm an underdog. There are some people who probably think that I do things my own way, and why don't I just do things like everybody else? And then who knows, there's probably some people who just like don't give an F about me at all, and that's totally fine. That's your prerogative. I think that it's hard for me to want to label myself an underdog, and especially because since I won this big show, if I was to self-describe as an underdog, people would be like, oh, come on, like that's rich that you think that. But I have experienced the feeling of being underestimated and the feeling of being overlooked. And I found that a lot of people who resonated with my story on Survivor, they resonated with it because they also experienced that in some way. And I think that there's probably a lot of ARMY who feel that way too. And I think that that's part of why it's so much fun to cheer on somebody like BTS, because you, even though we may not have recorded an album in a small garage, we probably have all had moments where we think, okay, we are entering the situation and somebody doesn't believe that we have what it takes, but we have to find a way to persist anyways. Sometimes it's successful, sometimes it's a flop. But then to see that this group of men have been able to do that, I think that's part of why we cheer for them so much. And I think that as you were talking about how they had such humble beginnings, I think that another thing that really resonates with me about them is they stick to their vision, even if it's not exactly what other people have done before. So I remember that it probably seemed unheard of that what should be just a regular idol group was dabbling in hip hop, and probably they became the laughing stock of K-pop. But then they stuck with it and they stuck to their creative vision. And even when they started talking about things like mental health and they started thinking critically about the pressures on youth in South Korea before a lot of people were talking about that widely, I think that that was a risk for them as well. And then that paid off. And it also shows me a lot about like sticking to your vision and sticking to what feels authentic and right to you, even if that's not what people had been doing before.
Their authenticity is something that we often look back on and what immediately drew us to them and made us feel confident in being such strong fans of them is just seeing and looking at this group of men and seeing these are such genuine, authentic, humble people. Like, you can see their character, you can see the hard work, you can see that they've made it a point to like stick to their what they want in life, and to always chase their dreams, not someone else's dreams, and the things that mattered to them they made sure to prioritize. And I think that's so amazing and commendable. Yeah.
You know, we had the RAP members, especially Yoongi and Namjoon at the very beginning. Like, they were underground rappers, producers, songwriters, lyricists, you know, very talented rappers, very much in the hip hop scene. And, you know, in those early days, like, they received so much criticism about being rappers and then going and being a part of a K-pop group. And people saying, like, you can't really be a rapper, like, you're not really a rapper, like, laughing at them, saying that, like, that just can't exist. And I just really loved your point of, like, they had a vision, you know. They were like, we don't care what you say. You say that, like, we can't be rappers and be in a K-pop group, but, you know, they stuck with it and they were like, we know who we are. And I look at them today, right? You know, they really saw that this could be something and they can stay true to, like, their rap careers while pursuing in a, you know, a K-pop group. So with all of these kind of like harsh allegations and criticisms, you've talked a lot about how like they take the higher road. And I'm just curious, like, in your own life, you know, what criticisms you've maybe faced, or, you know, how you necessarily deal with that.
Oh, after being on reality TV, you get your fair dose of criticism, maybe even a lot more than one would expect. So after I won Survivor, I definitely got a lot of criticism after I won. There was even a poll and this article written that said that 80% of Survivor fans believe that I didn't deserve to win, which sucks to be on the receiving end of. Like, hello, I'm a person, that hurts. At the same time, I'm just like, whatever, that's just whatever. I don't think that they literally polled at all people who watch Survivor. But anyways, that's not the point. But I definitely got certain criticisms. I think that I still, even like to this week, get messages from people saying that I didn't deserve to win. And I think that as I reflect back on it, I think that it was due to me just playing the game in a different way. I think that a lot of people are really favorable towards people who are like super dominant and super commanding and want to give orders. Whereas I knew from the life experience I had from being underestimated that that was the true tool that I could use to win. So I think that the way I got to the end was probably something that people weren't used to seeing, or it didn't really fit with what they think of as being a Survivor winner. I think especially because I'm 5 feet tall and I am a city girl and I do not do the outside thing. So it was probably very surprising that I didn't fit the mold. And then it led to lots and lots of criticism and messages and DMs and months of online bullying. So I can definitely relate to all of that. And then I think that that's where I do think back to the members and I do think back to how they're able to take the high road. Like, as I said before, they have achieved so many things in Korea, in North America, globally, yet they still don't fully get the attention that they deserve. They still get written off as just being a boy band and it's just teenage girls who like them, but they still operate with class and they still focus on their art. So I think a lot about, especially when Jin did his live the day that he was going to perform The Astronaut, and then he had said, oh, I was planning to go to the military, but then I did what was right for the band and we decided not to go right away. And I saw what everybody was saying about me, but I couldn't say anything. And even I get choked up thinking about that because I'm just like, oh my gosh, he saw all of the garbage that was being thrown at him, but then he made that sacrifice for himself and for the rest of the group. And yes, of course, you know, I think it's easy for people to say, oh, but then they were so successful, they made all of this money, all this stuff, but nothing quite stings like somebody attacking your character when you know that it was undeserved. So to mm-hmm. see that he had been weathering that quietly for so long and then left us with this beautiful love letter song via the astronaut, it just really, yeah, it just really, really inspired me seeing that.
I am just being so inspired by you and your story and how you take all of what, you know, like what BTS has modeled and how much you incorporate that into your daily life and how much you think about, well, if they can go through it like this, then I can do this too. If they can be humble through all this criticism and hold their head high and know who they are and not be affected, then I can do it too. And I think that is so commendable. And just as someone who watched your season and I've continued to watch like the new era of Survivor, I think that if your season would, if it was like season 44, if you weren't the first winner mm-hmm. of the new era, no way you would face as much criticism. Like, I think on top of the changes to the show, like, I think that made it harder for people to be more accepting. And I think you were like a dark horse winner. Like, you were there the whole time. As a viewer, like, if someone goes back and rewatches that season, they'll see that you were there the whole time, that mm-hmm. you were that dark horse winner. Like, maybe you weren't that front person making the bold, loud decisions, but you were in there. You were voting correctly. You knew what was going on in the game. And you made changes, you made shifts. I think that that is like so commendable. And just like, you know, maybe BTS aren't underdogs. Maybe they're a dark horse in their story too, to overcome and to, you know, climb to the top of the industry. And that's how I felt about you watching your season and seeing how you climbed to the top. And then just to see that you've taken so much away from it and you still apply that to your life today is so inspiring and so, so cool. So I just really appreciate the story that you're telling us here.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. I also just want to circle back to just like, you know, saying that, you know, you did it, you just did it a little different than other people. Mm-hmm. And like, I think that's just such a great way to look at it, because with BTS too and their story, like they did it different from other groups. They did a different route. They just aren't that, you know, typical kind of group. They came from, you know, nothing practically. And so I think, you know, here they are today. And of course, they're super successful. And, you know, people kind of have a hard time fully acknowledging that just because it isn't what they're used to. So I think that's just such a positive way to, and also like very validating way to look at your story on Survivor. Yeah.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And if you think about it, if BTS did it the way that everybody else was doing it, would they still be here today?
Exactly. Right.
Probably not. Yeah. No.
Right. Totally. So continuing a little bit with BTS's underdog story, where we really saw them get to a make or break moment was when they were gearing up for their I Need You comeback. Leading up to this, they had consistently lower album sales than their competitors. They really weren't given the opportunity to go on like, you know, Music Bank shows and do the competition or even go to awards shows. They weren't getting first place wins, and it was kind of reaching this climactic moment of their career. Like, are they going to do well? Will they? Won't they? Will they start to get fan support or popularity? And if they don't, it'll probably be all over. It'll crash and burn around them. Has there been a time in your life when you reached such a precipice where you felt like you had to fully commit and succeed at the same time? And if not, you'd lose it all.
Definitely. Some of the Survivor fans know that I actually quit my job before I went to film the show. And I think that some people think that I quit because I needed to film. But really, I had been in a career for 10 years and I had found success in it. I was good at it. I knew what the path would be if I stuck to it. But there was always something inside of me that thought, okay, this isn't what I want to be doing. And after all of that BTS fueled pandemic, self-reflection, and so much other self-growth, I realized I don't want to be doing this anymore. And it's now an opportunity for me to go and film the show where I can walk away from the life that I had before and just trust that I have what it takes to make it work out. So one moment like that was definitely when I left my career. And then I'm like, okay, now I have to go and film a show. And I thought, no matter what happens on the show, I'm going to figure out how to make what I want to do work, which for me was to work as a storyteller in media and entertainment. And then, believe it or not, once I filmed the show and then I won, then as the show was airing and I knew that my win was going to air soon and people would know I was the winner, that's when I actually felt the mounting pressure. Because I'm like, okay, if I now am the winner of the show, I'm the first Canadian to win the show, even though I think people believe that things would come easy after that, I'm like, this is where there's the pressure to really make it happen and really start to make things work. So the year after I finished the show, I think that that's when I had the most pressure on myself to take what so many people describe as a small window of relevance to make something happen. So I definitely think that that was a make or break moment, at least in that moment. But then the other thing that I realized is that, oh, it's not really true that the window is short and the window is going to close soon, as long as you're working hard and you're being consistent and you're doing it. And even when I think about my alt Jin, how he talks about, oh, sometimes you just need to take a few steps forward, you can go slow, like things don't need to fall into place right away and you can go at your own pace. I realized, okay, it wasn't a matter of taking that year and capitalizing it. It was a matter of just being consistent. So I feel like I have gotten through that. And because of the consistency, now I just do stuff that I love every day.
I have a follow-up question, just because I find it so courageous for you to like walk away from your job of 10 years, even though you loved it, but you had this gut feeling in your heart that like it wasn't what you really wanted to do. Even so, I'm sure it was comfortable. Again, you're good at it. You enjoyed it. Was there fear involved in taking that step, and like what helped you push over that?
Yes, there was definitely fear. There was definitely, who am I to do this, right? There was like a bit of the ego fear where I thought, who am I to think that I could make something that people would want to listen to, or that people would want to watch, or that people would want to see me on TV, or that they would care about what I would have to say. So there's that level. And then there was also the level of, I was born in the Philippines and then I moved to Canada when I was a baby, and very much had that immigrant upbringing where my parents worked so hard to make sure that we could have a good life and we could go to school. And then I'm thinking, who am I to now tell my parents, who worked so hard for me to find a stable job, that I wanted to leave my stable job? So I had all sorts of fear. But then I also realized that I could be fearful, but then I could still be kind to myself and I could try it and I could take the jump. And if I soar, that's awesome. And if I fall on my face, that's okay too. And I could always go back to the job. So I realized like, oh, even though there's the chance that I fail, that doesn't actually affect my self-worth. I can still love myself, hint, hint, as much whether or not I was achieving something or I wasn't. So I think that that helped me to have the courage to keep going. And don't get me wrong, there are still days where I feel scared and there's still days where I'm like, oh my God, what if I fail? But I just know that I can keep going.
I love that. It's having that self-worth and that self-trust too, to know that, you know, I'm fearful doing this. Of course, it's scary, but having the faith in yourself, like this is the right decision for me, right? And trusting and loving yourself in that decision. I just have to quickly go back because you just reminded me of another like BTS kind of moment too, in connection of like after you won the show. It wasn't the pressure of being on the show to win. It was the after, when people found out that you did win and you were like, oh, you proved yourself on the show, but now there's even bigger pressure that you need to, you know, continue to succeed and do well. And you felt that heavy pressure. And BTS speak about that a lot because they keep reaching these milestones, you know, and they talk about how the pressure can be so suffocating, to be always doing more, always outdoing what they did last time, you know. So just you saying that really reminded me of BTS speaking on that, like additional pressure they feel after they've, you know, made a huge accomplishment.
Oh my God, I know. I'm just now thinking of Yoongi rapping about that. I'm like, oh, it hurts my soul so much, but keep going.
Yeah. And they do. So, all right. One of the last questions we have for you is, you know, despite BTS being from a small company and no one really believing in them, of course we know they rose to the top and they surpassed a lot of what other K-pop groups had already set the stage for in the past. And so they ended up performing at the AMAs, they went to Billboard, the Grammys, they performed at the Grammys, got Grammy nominations. They also have gains in record album and concert sales in the States. So these are all really monumental moments in BTS's story. We just want to hear what some of your biggest triumphs you've had, where you felt that you overcame kind of all odds.
Ooh, I would say, well, definitely winning Survivor. I mean, for one, I was the first person living in Canada to get cast on that show and then winning. I was like, what is the what are the chances that this is going to happen? I don't know the mathematical odds. I'm not a math girl, but I'm like, this is not a thing that normally happens. So that's something I definitely keep in mind anytime I want to do anything. And I've had so many moments. So I also am one of those people who are into manifestation. And before I went to Film Survivor, I wrote a bio for what I would like my career bio to be. So like a paragraph about myself. And it's kind of wild because looking back, some of those things had happened. Like I always wanted to be a person on Entertainment Tonight Canada, and I got the opportunity to do that. I had a contract with them before. Unfortunately, the program no longer exists. I started a podcast, and I think reaching the 1 year mark of the podcast was such a big moment for me. And I think as podcasters, you can probably relate to this, but I remember getting my first payment that was like $1 in ad revenue. And I'm like, oh my God, I made $1. And I know that you put in more than $1 worth of work, but I'm like, oh my God, this means that this is real and people are consuming this. So I think that that was a really big one. And then there were certain personal ones too. Like at the beginning of last year, I froze my eggs. It was like a personal decision that I shared on social media and shared the journey, but it was something that I had always been considering. And then I had the opportunity to do it. And then at the end of last year, I mean, I don't talk about this a lot, but at the end of the last year, I came out as a lesbian and just kind of flipped over what people thought about me. Or maybe, who knows, maybe people thought I was. It doesn't matter. But yeah, I think it was also being able to make that personal declaration about who I am without apology was just something that an earlier version of me probably could have never, ever experienced. They probably could have never anticipated.
Yeah, that's a huge triumph. Wow. Oh, man, you have done so much since Survivor.
Thank you.
Wow. Congratulations to all of your accomplishments. And like, did you say it's been a year? You've made it to a year of your podcast?
Yes. Yeah. I just passed my 1 year.
Congratulations. That's huge too. Yeah.
Thank you.
I feel like we have learned so much from you. And I really, really appreciate the time that you've spent to tell us about yourself and your story along with BTS's story, because I have, like, I'm just sitting here so in awe of your determination and your will and your courage. I feel like you are such an inspiring woman, and I'm so proud of, you know, that you're coming on our podcast to share your wisdom with us. I'm super appreciative because your story is incredible. And I just hope that you continue to trust yourself and go on to do amazing things. We've already seen you do so much cool stuff. I'm really excited to see what you continue to go on to do.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here. And honestly, congratulations to you, Kayla and Bethany, for everything you're doing with Standing BTS. I know that there's probably so many ARMYs who just wish they had friends that they could talk to about BTS, and having your podcast probably brings them so much comfort and so much joy. So congratulations on everything you've done with your show.
Thank you so much. That's so sweet. Our favorite thing is when listeners reach out and say, like, I don't have really any ARMY friends to talk to, and I just feel like I'm hanging out with you guys in a room. And it's like, yay, like, that's what we want. That's what we're here to do. Wow. Well, Erica, thank you so much for being here. We do want to give you like a moment to shout out your podcast a little bit, anything you're working on or you're excited about, or any episodes that you want some of the iconic ARMY listeners to go over and listen to.
Yeah. So my podcast is called Happy to See Me. So it's available wherever you get your podcasts. So I talk to people who have been overlooked or underestimated, and you can hear a bit of an inspirational pep talk about how they got to where they are. So if you are a Survivor fan and you want to hear more about my journey, listen to the very first episode. And then if you're a BTS fan, I recommend you listen to episode 3 with my friend Anne Pornell. She's a TV host in Canada. And we talk about how we actually became friends through BTS. And then we went to Hobiepalooza. And she has this amazing story about how she
ended
up.
We were there.
We were there.
Oh my God. Yeah, okay. Small world. So tune in to my interview with Anne because she has this incredible story about how she was unsure about whether or not she wanted to go to Hobiepalooza. And then one thing leads to another. And she ended up with an artist pass in the pit. And she like could see Bang PD and Jimin with her own eyes.
That's
so check that out if you're an ARMY.
We'll have to go listen to that episode, ASAP. Kayla.
Episode 3.
Episode 3, yep.
Yes. And then in terms of other things, so I also work as a keynote speaker. So if you are ever throwing any events and you want some motivation, let me know. And then I have some other creative projects in the works. So feel free to follow me on Instagram if you want to hear about what's coming up. And my Instagram handle is ERIKA_CAS.
Okay. Thank you so much. And we'll see if we can link some of those for you in the description of our episode too, so that Iconics can go easily find it. Thank you so much, Erica, for being here and for sharing your story. We are so grateful. We also want to send a special thanks to our supporters on Patreon, especially the VIP Iconics, Eileen, Michelle, Holly, Meg, Rachel, Robin, and Deja. Thank you guys so much for all of your support. If you enjoyed this episode, there's so many different ways you can let us know. Write us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, wherever you listen. Reply to us on Instagram. Chat with the other Iconics there as well. And of course, you can find links for all of the things in the description.
Thanks for listening, and thanks for stanning BTS.